Thank you, Lord. I hope that you have been enjoying our series that we've been in. It kind of just unfolded into a series, and I'm going to do a part three today. And today, I'm really going to deal with this thing called navigating the rapids, all right? We're still in Ezekiel 47, our base scripture there, wherever the river flows, everything lives, okay? And can we just ask Jesus to bless his word today? Father, We are just so honored and privileged to be in your house today, God. We gather together under the banner of Jesus. We don't gather under the name of Buddha or Muhammad or any other dead person, Lord God. We gather under the name of the risen Savior, the only risen Savior, Jesus Christ. And you are our banner today. And we just lift you up in this meeting. And I pray, God, over this word today, that you, God, would just, Lord, anoint it. I pray that you would bring it, God, in the way that it's intended to be brought today, Lord. I pray that the words of Craig fall to the wayside and the words of Jesus would take residence in the heart today, Lord God. So I pray for fertile soil. I pray for a yieldedness in our spirits, Lord God. And I am asking you, Jesus, to have your way in your gathering. In Jesus' mighty strong name, and we all said together, amen, amen. Amen. So as I've already said, we've been in this series on the river of God, and we've seen several different things from the scriptures. We've seen that we know that rivers are spoken of in the scriptures over and over, both literally and figuratively, symbolically. And one of the things that we see in this Ezekiel 47 passage, as we've been unpacking that a little bit, is that this is a river that flows from the heart of God, okay? It flows, it's a river that brings life wherever it flows, okay? It represents the life God has intended for both you and I to have in our lives, each and every day of our lives. We were created for the river. Can we say that together? I am created for the river. I am created for the river. We weren't created to hang out on the banks. We were actually created for the river. And that is a truth. The river of God is created to flow into us. Jesus himself said that. He said in John 7:38 that whoever believes in me, okay, he says, out of him or her, that there will be rivers, plural, of living water that will flow around them. It's supposed to be something that is fluid. It's supposed to be something that is in motion. It's supposed to be something that's vibrant and that gives life. In fact, in Psalm 36:8, this is really cool scripture. I love this one. But really, when you and I abide in the river of God, okay, it says this. It says that we are abundantly satisfied. I don't know about you, but I've had a lot of times in my life where it just seems like you always want more of something, right? You know, it could be a material possession. It could be more money. We all like more money, right? Okay? Everybody say, amen. Yeah, we need a little bit more of that. But you know what? Whatever we do have, it's God's, okay? And the key is to have your resources and the things in your life yielded to Him. But it says that when we are in the river of God, and what that literally means is that when the river of God is flowing in us, through us, and out of us to the world around us, we will be abundantly satisfied. It doesn't mean that you're going to have, you know, a Cadillac and you're going to get mama back and all this other stuff that so many people distort with the scriptures. But the truth is that when you are in the river of God, it will satisfy your soul like nothing else can, you see. You were created for it. It's an awesome thing. So we looked at the fiery river on Daniel, and if you want to go on the website, you can check that out. And that's that really speaks to the trees, okay? If you think of us as kind of the trees, we're the trees in Psalm 1, planted near the rivers of water, which bring forth the fruit in its season. Now, if you read on in Ezekiel 47, it talks about the fruit. It literally says that the trees every month bear fruit. Now, it's not so much the time frame, but it's the consistency. So you and I, as children of God, we should be consistently bearing fruit. But it's fruit that comes from the river of God, you see? We're all bearing fruit. It's just not always kingdom fruit, is it? I know in my own life, I struggle with that. We were just talking about that a little bit in our men's group this morning, that scripture in Romans chapter 7. You know, the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, those are the things that I do. It's just, it seems like this contention that we have. But I will tell you, friend, the answer is at the end of that chapter where it says, thanks be to God that I have delivering power in Jesus Christ. He's the one that that gives me the power to bear fruit. That's the river of God flowing in us and through us. We were created for good works, and you can check that out in James chapter 2. We also said that salvation, and I love this, this Holy Spirit just spoke this to it. Salvation is not based on my good works, and we understand that. We are saved by grace and grace alone. But salvation results in good works, okay? When we are truly saved and we're living in the river of God, our lives will naturally have an outflow of fruit for the kingdom. Now, last week we examined another aspect of the river of God. We looked at what happens when we actually will allow God into those areas of our life that nobody even knows about. We could deal with these things for years and years and years, and we can just put up all kinds of guardrails. And, you know, Pastor, I don't care how much you preach. I don't care how much you're going to, you know, do this. I ain't listening to you, and I ain't letting you in that area. You don't got to let me in that area. What you need to do is let God in that area and let Him heal you, you see? That's what we need to do, okay? It's not important that we all know everybody's baggage, all right? You know, sometimes we look at everybody's suitcase that they're carrying around and say, man, look at that one, but we don't see the one that's behind us. I think there's a scripture that talks about the plank in our own eye when we're looking at the speck. You guys know that one, okay, all right. But the reality is this. We got to come out of hiding. We got to come out of hiding, and we got to be willing to be transparent. We got to be willing to be vulnerable before God, most importantly. But I hope and pray that as a body of Christ, we can be a safe place for one another. We can be a safe place where this is a judgment-free zone, where we can actually bear one another's burdens, is what the Scriptures has called us to. And I understand that sometimes we don't like some of the things that we see, some of the things that we hear, and all this and that. But the truth is, friends, if we can't find hope amongst each other, how is the world ever going to find some hope? We do need to be able to bear one another's burdens, and that's the essence of what that is, coming up underneath the weight of that thing that that other individual is carrying. We heard Melissa's beautiful testimony. Wasn't that awesome? And again, we give glory to God for that, you see. And she opened up her heart and shared her heart, how there were some things in her life she had been dealing with for years and years and years. And in a moment, she went to this Hope Conference, and there was just a great deliverance. There was another thing that can happen when we will invite Jesus into the deepest, darkest areas of our life. So I don't care what kind of violation it has been, or even one that maybe you have even done to somebody else. The bottom line is Jesus can heal the deepest wounds of your life. And that's what we looked at yet last week. And it was a powerful time around the altars. But I will tell you this, to come out of hiding takes work and it takes courage, doesn't it? Because we have to face that voice that says, what are they going to think about me? If I really am honest, if I really tell somebody that I'm dealing with this issue, what are they going to say about me? I'm not the perfect little Christian. Well, friends, none of us are perfect little Christians. And if you think you are, then we need to have a talk about pride, okay? The reality is that we all are dependent upon a Savior. Amen? The river this week... the part I want to look at this week is this. The river has rough spots. Okay, everybody say rough spots. Rough spots. Okay, I'm seeing a lot of heavy eyes. Do we need to turn all the lights on, Bruce? We might. I don't know. It's all good. But the river has rough spots. Okay? And at times we call them debris or just different things or things that come in. For our sake, we're gonna call them rapids, okay? In lots of rivers, there are rapids, okay? Not every river that is around us is like the old Spoonie, okay? Where it's just kind of coasting along. But I would imagine that there are times when the Spoon River gets up and there's different areas of the Spoonie that actually can get rapidy. I know in the Mississippi River, they had to put in these wing dams many years ago because... it flowed in such a way that the river boats, that when they would go down there, it was almost rapidy in different areas. On the Rock River, if you go up along where Sterling Rock Falls is at, there's literally a falls on the Rock River. Most of the time when you look at the Rock River, it just doesn't even look like it's moving. It's just kind of moving along. But up in Rock Falls, man, you would see that there's actually a layer of falls on that river. Not every river necessarily has class 6, okay? We're going to look at those classifications, but the reality is they all have rapids at times. Now, there's 6 classifications for rapids, all right? And these are kind of interesting. There's a class 1, all right? Class 1 is moving water with a few riffles and small waves, few or no obstructions. That's probably where most of us would like to just kind of hang out, right? Few or no obstructions, right? Class 2 rapids, listen to this. These are easy rapids. They have some smaller waves, clear channels that are obvious without really any scouting. Some maneuvering might be required. So if you're in a boat with a bunch of people, like a lot of people do, it's really pretty simple to get through there. Now we're at class 3. Rapids with high irregular waves. These are narrow passages that often require precise maneuvering, okay? So you have to kind of know what you're doing when you get to class 3 rapids. Class 4, longer rapids, all right? These are difficult rapids with constricted passages, and they often require complex maneuvering in turbulent water, okay? The course may be hard to determine, and scouting is often necessary. And when I say scouting, it means kind of putting the raft on the side, going up on a high rock and seeing how we're going to get through here, okay? Class 5, all right? Extremely difficult, long, very violent rapids, and highly congested routes, okay, which should be scouted from shore. All right, not just standing up in the boat or, you know, whatever, but literally, this they're saying you need to scout these from shore. Rescue conditions in these types of rapids are very difficult, and there is a significant hazard to life in a class 5 rapids. If there's ever a mishap, the upper limit of what is possible in a commercial craft is a class 5 rapids. And then there's the granddaddy of them all, the class 6 rapids. The difficulties of class 5, which we just mentioned, carried to the extreme. These are nearly impossible and very dangerous for teams of experts only. Everybody say experts only. Experts only. It involves risk of life. Class 6 rapids are not commercially raftable. So, if you ever want to have a funny with Nikki, ask her about the time that she went whitewater rafting on the Nile River. Now, most of us think of the Nile River as pretty tame, but there are parts of the Nile River that are absolutely full of major rapids. They literally, their guide took them through 3 class 5 rapids. And the last one she said that they actually went through was right at the bottom of a class 6. And she said, had I gone through that one at first, I would have never been able to get through the rest of it. It's quite an eventful story. There were people in the group that almost died. I mean, she said she almost died. It was just crazy. But I guess there was just no fear for these expert guides that were taking them on this. I mean, she was just a missionary over there, and it was just like, oh my gosh, she showed us some of the pictures from that, and it was just like, you see this little picture of somebody just going, you know, is that you, Nikki? You know, I don't. But the reality, have some fun with her. Ask her about the Nile River and her rafting trip. But here's the thing. What causes, I started asking this question, what causes rapids? Because really, it's the same, if you think about it, it's the same volume of water that's moving along the channel, right? But what happens is that over time, Where rapids exist in a river system, there's a narrowing of the channel, okay? And it's not just a narrowing of the channel from width-wise, but it's also even depth-wise, because what happens is you have all this water, this big body of water, and you might be at 10 feet, and then all of a sudden, the gradient changes. It might be constricting on from side to side, but it also constricts from the bottom, and it becomes shallower, and there's rocks that are exposed in those moments. So it's very, very turbulent, and everything that's going through there, it becomes a rapids. And the more restriction, the more rocks and debris and the different things that are there, it creates a stage 5 or stage 6 rapids, whatever you want to call it. But it creates a rapids. And as the water is thrust through these areas, okay, there's more force that's exerted, all right? And it's created to account because of the volume of water that's trying to get through there, you see? So here's the reality, friends. Now let's just take this picture and let's apply it to our spiritual lives, okay? Because I think we can do that. I think every one of us, at times in our spiritual lives, you might be in the river of God, but somewhere along the line, you begin to hear there's some running water up ahead. You begin to see that, man, there's some bubbling and there's some other things. One other thing I would tell you, one of the things, and we'll come back to this, but one of the things that happens when that water goes through those rapid areas, okay, however long it may be, there's an oxidation that takes place with the water. And on the other side of the rapids, the water is actually purer and cleaner than when it first went into that rapids area. There's a whole message right there. So how I respond to the rapids in my life is very important, right? I think, wouldn't we all agree that we are going to experience some turbulent times? Is there anybody ever experienced a turbulent time in the river, okay, in flowing along with God? It happens, friends. So what are the things that we need to do? Well, number one, I would suggest this. I would say be prepared, okay? You know, in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it talks about us being in a place where we are anxious about nothing, but in everything, we take everything to God in prayer, and we get God's word in on it. We get God's perspective in on it. So you may be hearing rapids up ahead, or you might be in the middle of the rapids right now, but we need God's perspective in on it. And you say, well, I didn't really prepare for this. Well, you know what? The good news is that even while you're in the rapids, God is right there with you. And right there with you means that He will hold you by the hand and He will help navigate you the rest of the way. The second thing that we can do is we can lighten the load. You know, you can't navigate properly if you're carrying too much baggage with you, especially when you get to the higher levels of rapids, okay? In Hebrews chapter 12, it says for us to throw off everything, the sins and the weights that so easily entangle us. It says to throw those things off of our lives because they're restricting us. They're keeping us from doing the very things that God wants us to do. And the rapids that are coming in your life require us to throw off those extra things, to cast them off. It's not always sinful activity, friends, okay? Sometimes it's just activity, right? Sometimes the activity that we have to throw off is just the busy activity. The third thing that we can do, and I think this is so important, is we can seek out help. We sometimes, especially when we, you know, you might be able to navigate those class 1, 2, and maybe even a 3. But when you start getting into some of those class 4 and those class 5 rapids, oh my goodness, you're just sitting there and you're just going, what am I going to do? How am I going to get out of this? I need some help. That's where the family of God comes into play, amen? That's where we bear one another's burdens. That's when, you know, somebody who's actually navigated this, they call them in the river rafting world, God. guides. And we can find a guide. God has put wisdom in the body of Christ. Why can't we learn from each other? Why do we always have to think that we got to be trailblazers on everything? Why do we always have to reinvent the wheel? Sometimes the wheel's rolling, okay? Doesn't mean that we can't dress the wheel up or you don't change the tire from time to time. But the reality is that we can learn from one another. Because there, I would tell you, there is a wealth of information in this room that needs to be transferred one to another. And when you're going through the rapids of life, it's important to reach out. Sometimes you need a close friend, but I will tell you this. That might be fine as you're going through certain rapids, but ultimately, the good guide knows. And when I'm talking about that, I'm talking about in the church. This is where the analogy breaks down a little bit. But we need the expert. You see, the reality is that every one of us is going to experience a class six somewhere along the line. Somewhere along the line, you're going to experience a class six. And that's a place of testing. And eventually, when we come to that place, we need to fall on our knees and consult with the expert, you see? And hopefully your guide up to that point is always pointing you to the expert. He's always pointing to you to the one. Because the thing that we do sometimes in church is somebody will come and they'll ask you for advice. And we'll just give them our perspective on it rather than giving them God's perspective on it. And when we do that, we create dependency upon ourselves. And you know what? Sometimes that feels good. Oh, I like to be needed. I like it when... But no, friends. We need people going to Jesus, to the source. We need people. We take them by the hand and we take them to the source. Just like last week when we were talking about helping people. They might be ankle deep and they want to go chest deep or they want to get into the main channel. But sometimes we got to take them by the hand and help them take the next step. That's what being a guide is. But once they get into that river channel, we let them go with Jesus. Amen? Because we don't want people dependent upon us. You never want to create a situation like that. That's called codependency. And we don't want that, friends. We want people to be reliant upon Jesus. Because if they're reliant upon Jesus, that's saying that the river of God's flowing in them, through them, and out of them to the world. And they are blessed to be a blessing to others. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The class six is where it's just you. In God. I want you to think about this. Missy, I don't have a long message today, and some of you are like, dang. If you want to come on up, Missy, that'd be fine. I do still have another page, but... Yeah, you guys are all hungry, man. We got to get down to them chicken and noodles. This is the place where it's just you and God. Now, think about these different individuals in Scripture. How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Fiery furnace. Class six rapids, wasn't it? Facing all the things, all the pressures, everybody coming in on all sides of them. How about Moses leading a group of people, has his back up against the Red Sea, Pharaoh's armies coming at him, chariots, all of this. Class six rapids. How about Joseph? He traded in his coat of many colors for a pit of despair. But even in the pit, he never forgot about God. Class six rapids. How about Abraham as he's taken Isaac up that mountain? His only son, the promise. Knowing that he was going to have to sacrifice. Didn't know that on the other side of the mountain, God had prepared a ram making his way up. Class six rapids. Abraham crying out, thank God he heard the Lord. Thank God he had ears to hear. He could have needlessly slaughtered Isaac. But God stopped him at just the right moment. Class 6 Rapids, he consulted with the expert. How about Peter's denial? How could I ever forgive myself for denying Christ? All it took was a hanging around a fire with a young gal who accused me of hanging out with Jesus, and I couldn't even stand up in that moment, but yet I was so proud. It was a class 6 moment for Peter. How about Noah? How about his ark? How about the widow's last mite? How about Elijah on Mount Carmel, faced with all the prophets of Baal and all the cultural influences at the time, standing there in that moment? Put more water on the altar. Put more water on the altar. Class 6 Rapids. How about Gideon in his wine press? How about Paul on his Damascus road? How about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, facing his greatest moment? Class 6. Where was he? On his knees with the expert. Father, if it be your will, take this cup from me. It's hard to understand, friends, but every one of them had a promise, didn't they? They all had a promise that was out there on the horizon for them. And then there was their situation. In between where they're at right now and that promise, there was a great journey that had to take place. And along that journey, they were going to encounter all kinds of things, weren't they? Some of them didn't even really see the fullness, like Abraham, the fullness of the promise of God manifest in his life. But yet he lived as though he had. It amazes me when I read about these individuals. When I see people in the Scriptures, and I see many of you, and I know many of you have overcome incredible, incredible obstacles in this life. You've gone through your own Class 6 Rapids, and you consulted with the expert. And I want to say, be encouraged today, because it has not gone unnoticed. There are people who look at you, and they recognize there's a real one. I can remember a couple of older men in my life when I was just a 20-something knuckleheaded kid. And I remember these old men, and they took me just kind of under their wing. Two of my best friends in the faith. I lost all my other friends. Once I was a Jesus freak, they wanted nothing to do with me. As long as I was smoking with them or drinking or doing something like that, chasing women, whatever, then, man, we were in like Flynn. But as soon as I wanted to serve Jesus, man, I was just like, man, God. And you know who he brought me for friends? A couple of 75-year-olds. Woo! And it was the best thing that ever happened to me. Because I saw these men navigate the rough waters in life. And they shared their experiences with me. And when I started to go through some of those rough waters myself, I was able to consult with them. But there came a point in time. And I remember there was another one. A dear lady, she's the one that led me to Jesus. But I remember I went to her and I was facing something very, very difficult. And she looked at me and she says, I'm not your answer. You have to go to the one who has the answer. She was pointing me to the expert because she knew that the waters that I was going to enter into were far beyond anything. And if she would have just brought her opinion into it, it would have never brought me to the place of freedom. Friends, always point people to Jesus. He is the answer. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through the Son. He said that I have come to give you a life and a life abundantly. You know, the last thing that I would say is this. You need to be prepared. You need to lighten the load. You need to seek out help. But one of the last things that we need to do is we need to cut the lines. What do you mean by that? Well, if you're in a rapid situation, It's awful hard. In fact, it's deadly when you have lines attached to the shore. Trying to navigate rapids will most certainly lead to death if you don't cut the lines. And what I'm talking about to those things that you've been hanging on to in your life. Sometimes the guide comes to us. Janet, you need to cut the line. Cut the line. Cut the anchor, Linda. Cut the anchor, Sherry. Cut the anchor, Bill. And sometimes we want to fight the guide. We want to fight the expert. We know what his word says, but we want to fight it because we're robed in this thing called flesh. And we don't like the way it feels. But what it's requiring us to do is come face to face with the real issue in our lives. And the face to face issue is this, friends. It's a trust issue. Do we really trust God? Do we really believe that He will come through for us? Do we have the kind of faith like a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Because even when they were in the fire, they said, even if He doesn't come through, we're still not going to bow to you. And if you peered into that fire, oh, wouldn't it have been awesome to be able to just peer in that fire and see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego falling on their face, loose, the things that were binding them were completely off of them, and they were on their face before the one in the fiery furnace, before Jesus. Whoo! I love that story. I love it. You're trying to navigate rapids with lines attached to the shore. And the longer you do that, you're going to get more entangled and more entangled in the rocks and the debris and everything else. And as long as you keep doing that, it's most certainly going to end in death. And that's ultimately what the enemy wants for your life. He doesn't want you effective. He doesn't want you navigating these rapids. Friends, can I tell you, hang on to Jesus. Jesus knows the way through. He's not going to slam you into a rock. He's going to guide you through. Oh, we might have some bumps here and there, friends, but He's going to guide you through those rough waters. So we need to be prepared. We need to lighten the load. We need to seek out help, and we need to cut the lines. So I ask you today, are you in the rapids? Are you like me that sometimes it just seems like the rapids just never end? Can I tell you something? The rapids don't go on forever. Now, remember what I said was on the other side of the rapids? There's calm water, but there's pure water. There's a quality of water in your life that had you avoided the rapids altogether, you'd never possess. Listen to this scripture. It's in Job. If I can find it here, you guys know. It basically says this. It says that when I have been tested by fire, I will come forth as gold. When you come through the rapids, friends, know that God can use that in your life. Not to keep you limited or restrict you, but to refine you. And when you get on the other side of it, ha! Whew! The quality of your life will be drastically different than when you entered. Amen? I don't know. I think that's good. Can we give God glory this morning? Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know, sometimes crazy things happen in rivers. I'll share one of them with you. In 1811, 1812, it was right in that time frame, there was some some major earthquakes in the Mississippi Valley. And it changed the land masses so much that there was a period of time that the river, the Mississippi River, actually flowed backwards. Now, I don't know about you, but that's pretty crazy. What do you mean? Am I going the wrong direction? That nobody would have known, but it's documented, it's recorded. In fact, they said the earthquakes were so strong that they could be felt. In one of the things that I read, it said that the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, actually rang. That's the kind of earthquake that it was. Now listen, I don't know about you, but if I'm in that kind of water, I want to know that I have one that's going to be around me. He's going to keep me safe. Doesn't mean that I'm never going to have a bad thing happen in life. That's just bad theology. The reality is we are going to have trouble. We are going to have things we go through in this life, but take heart because Jesus has overcome this world. Now this morning, listen, we're here for you. I want you to know that. And next week, there's one more message I'm going to bring on the river of God. But this week, I just want to encourage you this way. Don't be afraid of the rapids. Don't try to avoid them. Don't try to avoid the river altogether, because that's the safest place that you and I can be. Right in the palm of His hand. See, too much of the time, we create our living quarters on the bank. In the kingdom of God, it's like having a houseboat or having a raft or having whatever is needed. You see, we built too many of our lives and too many of our churches on the bank when we were supposed to be in the river. Don't be afraid of the rapids. It's going to come. And every one of you will experience a class 6. I encourage you to draw on the examples of Scripture. Draw on the examples of godly men and women that have gone before you, maybe have gone through down some paths. If you're going through something right now, you just need somebody to pray with you. We're here for you. But maybe you know a friend that maybe has experienced something that you've gone through, and they could actually, you know, I've always said this, and it's true. The greatest ministry that you're going to have is through your scars. You know, the scars aren't a reminder of failure. The scars are a mark of victory. What Jesus did. Amen? All right. Can we just lift our hands to heaven for just a moment? Jesus, we just want to say thank you. We want to thank you, God, for your goodness. We thank you that while we're in the river, while we're in the rapids, and Lord, sometimes it's just so hard. Sometimes we just want to get out, and sometimes we weren't prepared. Sometimes, God, we have lines that are still attached. Sometimes, God, we feel very alone, and we're just trying to do it alone. And sometimes, God, we're just carrying way too many things. Lord, whatever that may be, I pray today that you will just release each and every person here to be the man and woman of God that you have created them to be. I pray that the kingdom of God will become a preeminent place in their lives. God, your word said in Matthew 6:33, to seek ye first the kingdom of God. So I pray that that scripture would grip our hearts, Lord God. And in your kingdom, God, I know there's times we're going to face rapids, but wait, may we not be afraid. May we not be discouraged. May we understand that on the other side of these rapids, Lord God, there is a refreshing place. Hallelujah. There is a place of refreshment. There is a place, Father God, where the quality of our life improves. There is a place where the water that flows from our lives is purer, Father God. And I pray that the pure water of heaven would flow in us and through us and out of us to a desperately needing world, a world that is desperately wanting a drink from heaven. And I pray that you use us, God. Start with us, God. Start with us. May we be the living water coming from heaven in us, through us, and out of us to the world around us, Lord God. We love you, and we thank you, Father God. You are our living hope forever and ever and ever. And we all said in the mighty, strong, majestic name of our soon and coming Savior, Jesus Christ, all together, Amen. Hallelujah. Can we give God praise?